The Vocation Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Holy Spirit Radio.
Well, praise God. Welcome to the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLacy, the host of the show and also the Vocation Director for the Vocations for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Very happy to be with you again this month. You know, it's such a joy, the Christian life, especially to live and be caught up in God's providence. You know, God, you know, takes care of us. He provides for us. And he orchestrates the occurrences of our lives in such a way that it aids in doing his will. And one of the things to be a faithful Catholic is to allow ourselves to be caught up in God's providence. Oftentimes when you hear vocation stories, you hear about very providential circumstances that God used then to bring someone into what their vocation is. You know, and I think of, you know, St. Joseph, you know, with his brothers. You know, we oftentimes think of him as Joseph and the technicolor, you know, coat and that sort of thing. He was beloved by his father Jacob, you know, and he was the favorite son amongst other sons. And we see in his life, you know, just how God used him so powerfully. His brothers were so jealous of him that they wanted to kill him. You know, one of the brothers intervened and, you know, and said, like, no, let's just sell him into slavery. We can spare his life. You know, his father had to grieve him very intensely. You know, he was sold off into slavery, became a slave in Egypt, and went overnight from being the slave to being the prime minister of all of Egypt, the second most powerful individual in all of Egypt. And because of the dreams that he got, you know, he was able to save Egypt and eventually save his, you know, his family, which were the start of the chosen people. You know, if you know, he had a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of thing misfortune. You know, if his relatives didn't hand him over for slavery, he would not have become the powerful man that he was, and his relatives would not have been saved from the famine, and the chosen people would have never became a great nation. And so we see how God's providential care guided the life of Joseph, and Joseph so beautifully cooperated with that, you know, showing great forgiveness to his brothers and taking care of them in their time of need, which showed great forgiveness. You know, and so Joseph really is a type of Christ in many ways, that, you know, Joseph, you know, was treated unjustly, and God used that to bring about, you know, a very powerful, you know, a very powerful end. You know, in my own life, reflecting on how God's providence was at work in different moments in my own life, I remember this one moment. I was just, as a seminarian, simply going to the dry cleaners, and now there was a woman in the dry cleaners who we would get into faith conversations, and this one woman who I would get into these faith conversations, I was on the run, but she said, "Can you stay? I really want to speak to you." I'm like, "That, yeah, be happy to." And there's another customer in the store plus this woman's sister. Well, I stayed for a little while, and this other customer left, and they explained to me that this other customer was being inappropriate with them. And just, I consider it providentially, you know, God allowed me to arrive at that one moment that, you know, was able to be helpful for, you know, their safety and defuse the situation. I didn't know what I was walking into. I didn't know how God was going to use me at that moment. And it's just beautiful and powerful to be caught up in God's providence. You know, and we desire to be caught up in God's providence when we have properly ordered our lives to see God's will above all things, where God is the top priority, God's agenda is our top priority, and then our own agenda, our own priorities come second to him. When we have that disposition, then God can, you know, use us and mold us, you know. But when we're like, no, like God, I'm going to do things my way. You know, I'm the person that I'm meant to be. I'm not going to change. When we have that rigidity towards God, then God's not able to mold us. And so as we are continuing to build up a culture of vocations, which is what the Vocation Hour is all about, you know, we want to all be very intentional about, Lord, you know, use me as you see fit. You know, and that helps us then to do, you know, God's will in bigger decisions too, when we're able to do God's will on those daily things, those daily providential occurrences where we allow God to use us as an instrument can be so powerful then to help us to grow in, you know, people that respond to God's will with the entirety of their lives. Well, praise God. I'm very excited for the show that we have today. We have three great seminarians. They're in their first year and three first college, you know, students for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Why don't we have you guys, and this will be a good chance to do a little sound test here. Why don't we have you guys introduce yourselves and mention to us what your home parish is. And, you know, it's radio gentlemen, so, you know, that means that there can't be any dead air. We need to keep speaking. So they're first year of college seminary, so just we'll listen attentively as the audience. So go ahead.
Well, I'm John Zapata, and I'm from the parish of St. Martin's of Tours in the Great Northeast.
The Great Northeast.
My name's Gabe Ferroth. I'm from St. Norbert's in Paoli.
And I'm Rob Ballinger. I'm from home parish St. Agnes in Sellersville.
Outstanding, guys. And praise God, we're very grateful for the yes that you have given. These are three normal, awesome guys, athletic, you know, talented, you know, smart, you know, which you'll have a chance to come to know, and, you know, as we're going through the show. You know, can you guys describe, you know, what was this idea of a vocation? You know, what sense have you had that had caused you to want to apply to the seminary, the sense of God might be calling you to the priesthood? Where did this come from? Tell me your vocation story. And we'll start off with John again and keep going in the same order. So why do you feel called to the priesthood?
Well, I think I feel called to the priesthood because just going to Mass every Sunday, you know, being a devoted Catholic, you know, my whole family being Catholic, and just I love God, you know, I love to be close to Him, and I want to meet Him and to know more about Him and to learn more about my faith, and just it's a blessing that He called me to the seminary. Just seeing that priest every Sunday holding the Eucharist and Mass, being an altar server, you know, just a great experience. It just can't describe it with words, but it just made my spirit very happy. And, you know, coming to the Come and See weekends and the retreat here in the seminary, and, you know, Father Lacey has done a great job, you know, getting these, discerning young people in the seminary, you know, thinking about their decisions, and he inspired me a lot to enter the seminary. So he's done a great job, and he's a great man, and I hope he continues to do that. And yeah, I just love going to Mass. I'm a big fan of God, and I think I am here. I think I'm in the right place where I am. I'm very happy now, and I thank to God, and hope leads Him where He wants me to be. You know, be His instrument.
Great, John. Thank you so much. I'm starting to regret the offer I made to them. I said, anytime they compliment me, I'm going to give them $20. And that was early on in this. I may be broke by the end of the show. So, but just kidding about that, though. But thank you, John. And John had mentioned the Come and See weekends. And, you know, we offer these weekends periodically throughout the year. And so if you're a man who's considering a call to the priesthood and you feel like you're being drawn to attend the seminary, you can come to the seminary for a weekend. We have one for high school students. We also have one for post-high school, so college, young adults, and beyond. And you can come and see, you know, what the life of a seminarian is like, and pray and ask the question, Lord, are you calling me to the priesthood? And so thanks, John, for mentioning that. Why don't we go back to Gabe here?
Yes, well, I would tell you my vocation really started in my high school, ironically. I went to Conestoga High School in Berwyn, which is a public high school. I went to public high school my whole life. And it wasn't until my junior year when my guidance counselor sat me down and she asked me, what's next? What are you doing for your future? What's the plan? That was really a waking up moment for me. And that's when I started to think seriously about my future, thinking about what is next, where I'm going. So Father DeLacy mentioned earlier, Divine Providence. That was my guidance counselor. I don't even believe she's a Christian at a secular high school, public high school. And she was the one who really inspired, in a lot of ways, my vocation. For me, I was very diligent in my discernment. I read books. I prayed a lot. And really what was very helpful for me was the Quo Vadis retreat, which is it's a retreat with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And it's in the summer, and it's just you spend about 3 or 4 days discerning, and you have as many priests and seminarians helping out with it, and they explain what the priesthood's like, what a vocation is like, what the seminary is like, etc. And really just hanging out with the seminary and seeing that they're normal people, that they're fun to be around. And I really got a sense of peace that this was the life for me, that this is what God was calling me to do. I got a peace about it that I didn't get when I thought about college or marriage.
Mm, beautiful. Well said. And that Bovadas camp is for high school men. We run it every year, typically in June, and I think the next one will be in June. It's for high school men, so it would be for any man who just graduated the eighth grade to any man that just graduated from their senior year. So it's the 5-year inclusive there. And it's just a great opportunity to hang out with priests and seminarians, to pray as priests and seminarians pray, but also to kind of goof around and do a lot of fun things and a lot of great activity. I think this year, at the time that we're recording the show, it's not firmed up yet, but it's not stopping me from dangling that out there to people. I think this year we're going to be including zip lining as a part of the Quo Vadis. So we're really trying to entice people here. So for that, so now we'll kick it over to Rob, if you want to introduce yourself. And Gabe, did you give us your full name and all that in your home parish?
Yes, when we were.
Oh, you did. I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay. Good. Rob, okay. Your full name and your parish. Yes.
I'm Rob Bollinger. I'm from St. Agnes in Sellersville. And it all began in high school for me as well. It dawned on me that everybody sort of has, at least a Catholic for me, has two choices, being a husband or being a priest. And that idea of priesthood stuck with me throughout high school. And as high school went on, it got more and more serious. And I realized how instinctual it was for me to try and become a priest. And I knew that if I ignored that and would not go to St. Charles Seminary, I would just end up regretting it for the rest of my life.
Mm, and that's a very real thing. And, there's a story that I tell with some regularity. I don't know if I've told it on air yet, but I went to visit a parish at one point, and a man who was elderly, who was married and had grandchildren, came up to me crying. And he said, like, that he felt called to the priesthood, and he chose to get married, and he regretted it ever since. You know, and so if you have an inkling that you're being called to the priesthood, you know, like coming and checking it out, you know, if guys that enter the seminary, and there's a 50% discernment out rate, you know, the guys who enter the seminary then discern that they're meant to leave, they don't have any regrets. They really felt this time was very beneficial to them. So that's wonderful. Rob, you have somebody special in your family that, you know, it'd just be interesting to make mention. You know, what special connection did you already have to the seminary?
Yeah, Father. So my brother is also in the seminary as well. My older brother, who's 3 years older than me, has entered as well. And a lot of people ask me, what's it like to have a brother in here? Honestly, it's very convenient. It's almost like a cheat sheet to everything that's going on.
Outstanding. No, that's wonderful here. So that's great. So, before we move on, we want to hear about your seminary experience, but still let's keep reflecting a little bit on your experience before the seminary. So this is going to be an open question now. What, to the listening audience, you can't see this. When I ask a question, they look at each other to see who's going to answer first. Now, the fact that this is radio means that, like, somebody needs to go to the microphone right away. We can't have any dead air. So we'll need somebody to step up with this question, and don't be shy. So the first question is, what was people's reaction to you telling them that you were going in the seminary? Like, what were, you know, we want to hear different people. We want to hear, you know, classmates, family, you know, like that type of thing. And we'll give all of you a chance to answer this.
Yeah, so my family, I'm one of six kids, a big, happy, hectic Catholic family. My whole family was thrilled. My mom, I found out it was something she'd been praying for, my vocation, for a very long time. My grandfather had been praying for a vocation in my family for decades. And, you know, there were tears, I'll say that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. With, you know, my whole parish, my youth group, they were all thrilled, very, very supportive. With my friends at my public schools, some mixed reactions. It was generally, a lot of the kids were supportive. I don't think many of them truly understood what it meant that I was entering the seminary, but they knew it was a big commitment, and they all loved me because they were my friends, so they were going to support me. I was dating a girl at the time, so I had to break up with her, and that's how a lot of people found out. And that was kind of got a lot of mixed reactions. But overall, it really was a lot of support, and that's what I found is so many people. There's so many people who are willing to support you when you enter the seminary. I work at a country club in the summers. I caddy at a golf course, and I've just found so many golfers, older men who I didn't know they went to church. I didn't know they were Christians who have come up to me afterwards, and they want to give me money. They're so happy. They're just very, very supportive. So there's a lot of people out there who will support you if you enter the seminary.
Wonderful. Gabe, we'll stick with you. I'm going to take an aside real quick. And could you guys mention just the different activities that you were involved in high school and that sort of thing? So, Gabe, we'll stick with you, and then we'll have the others kind of mention.
Yes. Well, I go to St. Norbert's Parish in Paley, which I already mentioned. And it's a very lively, active, very young parish. It's got a lot of good young families. So I've been involved in the youth group there, and it wasn't until my senior year that I really, really got involved in it. I was kind of loosely tied with it throughout high school, but my senior year I started regularly going and doing extra activities with them. And then, you know, mass every Sunday and throughout the week as much as I can.
And when you played ice hockey, what was your nickname? I'm making that up, but...
I like playing sports throughout high school, so throughout high school I played. I ran track, I did some soccer, and played ice hockey.
It was known as the Slasher when it came to... No, I'm kidding. I'm making that up, but that's great, though. And then how about John? What types of activities were you involved with?
Well, I was involved with running. The big runner guy, you know, broke numerous records in my high school, so I'm very proud of that. So, and they used to call me, my nickname is still Johnny Shoeshine, just because of my name.
Johnny Shoeshine.
Zapata, yeah.
Oh, perfecto.
So it's Zapato, if people don't get the meaning in Spanish. But I just love being active, like Gabe. I love sports, big sports fan. And yeah, I got that from my dad. You know, he also a big sports fan. And he was a big soccer star. So just want to, you know, follow him, you know, and take up, you know, the inheritance, you know, from father to son. And I like acting too. I was involved in acting, theater, you know. It's one of my hobbies is acting. And also politics, you know, being class president, you know, so I love that also. Was one of my hobbies I did in high school. So it was, you know, high school for me was fun. It was a great time, you know, met a lot of good friends there, you know. I miss them now, but you know, it happens, you know, you gotta move on in life. But I think my reaction, my family, when I was told them I was entering the seminary, everyone was shocked. It was surprised, even my friends were surprised. You know, it's to show you that God's call you in different ways, and you know, he drags you where he wants you to be and not what you want to do in this life. So, and that is, I just listen to him and I'm grateful, and so far I got no regrets at all. So I'm very proud of that.
Plus, you're active as an altar server. I think you mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. You know, that was your strong connection to the faith and that sort of thing. So Rob, what kind of activities were you involved with? And then.
One thing that we all share is actually running. I also did track and field throughout high school. But in addition to that, I was also involved in the National Honor Society. I was president of that. And same with Gabe, a lot of church stuff, like a youth group and whatnot. But throughout high school, I really enjoyed being a high jumper in track and field. It was really interesting, the feeling of flight for about 2 seconds and then you land.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding. So praise God for that. And, you know, it's worth noting that these three men are what was affectionately referred to in years past. I don't think anyone uses this language now, but they're three publicers, right? You know, the three of you went to public school, mm-hmm. and turned out phenomenal. So, and I say that because I think a lot of times, you know, students that are going through public school, they think like, oh, like, well, that's for somebody who went to Catholic school. But you know, the reality is that, you know, like, Catholic schools are not putting more guys in the seminary as compared to public schools, and you know, the statistic 2 years ago now, I'm not sure if it's holding up at this point, but it, you know, for the whole seminary, population for St. Charles Seminary. That's including all the sending dioceses. The breakdown was one-third came from our Catholic schools, one-third came from public schools, and one-third came from home schools. And so, you know, there's various paths that lead to here prior to entering the seminary. And so that's a normal thing. So, well, just to remind everyone that this is the Vocation Hour. You're listening to a great group of seminarians here. My name is Father DeLacy. I'm the host and also the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. If you're a man who's thinking about the priesthood, or you want information about the programming that you can plug in to help you to respond to the call to the priesthood, please, you know, visit the website. That would be www.heedthecall.org. That's www.heedthecall.org. It's great to have you here, and there's a lot of exciting things. We heard mentioned the Quo Vadis camp, which is a dynamic and fun experience for high school students. So you know, if you're a high school student or you know someone, please sign them up. And then also our Come and See weekend. So we have three awesome seminarians who are in their first year here at the seminary. So can you guys describe, you know, what your first day was like here at the seminary? What was your very first day at the seminary like?
For me, it was very hot because it was move-in day, and all the new men have to wear these suit and ties with a jacket, and you're there with your family, and you're moving all of your stuff up these flights of stairs and into your room, and then you're putting all of your belongings in this room that you're going to live in for the rest of the year. But in addition, having a brother here was really nice because he helped out, guided me and whatnot. Overall, it was a great experience, but still a very hot day.
Okay, sure. So your lasting remembrance of the first day will be hot.
For me, the first day really was just a blur. It was a day I had been anticipating for months, and it did go by very quickly. It was a lot of orientation, and I do remember that's funny. Rob mentioned that it was a hot day, and we were all wearing suits. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was just excited to take everything in and get to meet some of the guys, get to meet some of my teachers and the priests I would be working with. So it really was a fun day.
Wonderful.
Yeah, my first day was pretty nerve-wracking. You know, I didn't know what to expect. But you know, when I got here, you know, I felt relaxed and comfortable. You know, seeing, you know, my classmates and saying hello to other seminarians and the other staff here. And I think it was a good time. Everyone had a good time, you know, showing the family the tour, you know, a lot of meetings, a lot of talking. Almost put me to sleep, but we're not going to talk about that now. It was great, man. It was fun, a good experience. It was quick, too, but it was one of those days I will carry with me for the rest of my life in my memory.
So, yeah. Outstanding. What was it like to... I'm going backwards a little bit, so sorry for that. But what did you think of the application process? You know, was it something that was scary? Was it something that was hard? Was it a piece of cake for you? So what was the application process like for you?
Yeah, the application process, it was very manageable. St. Charles was, in fact, the only school I applied to, so I can't so much compare it to other high school, other colleges, other public schools. But the application process, it was very manageable. It was doable. I just broke it up. Thankfully, I started very early with it. I started in September, so I was able to spread it out over a few months. I will say probably the most difficult thing of it was the psychological evaluation. It was extensive. But, you know, I got through that. And actually, the application process for me was really a good discernment litmus test, almost. Doing the application process, seeing how smoothly it ran, and being able to answer a lot of the questions about my vocation story with ease, for me at least, was a sign that this is probably I'm probably making the right move. I probably do have a vocation.
Yeah, and Gabe mentioning the application process. It's we tell the candidates to allow for 6 to 8 hours to take the psychological evaluation, and it does measure a lot of things of, you know, intelligence and emotional maturity and all that. We want to make sure that our candidates aren't crazy, you know, at one level. Like, so these three pass. So, you know, that at that level. And we then also it does give insights into, like, you know, in terms of like development and where areas of some people they have, you know, the need to continue to develop, like whether it be confidence or social skills or that sort of thing. It's a good tool to kind of help formation, to kind of start off then with, you know, what direction to help form these guys in. So how about the other two, your experience with the application? Was anything hard or challenging?
Well, first time when I saw the application, I was like, man, this is a lot. I don't think I'm going to get to do this, but my father, Lacey, told me, you know, do it little by little, step by step, and you get to the end. And that's what I did. I just, you know, relax and didn't stress out about a lot. I just, you know, did, you know, step by step, and it really helped me a lot. I think the most nervous wrecking was the evaluation. You know, it was 5 hours, you know, and, you know, my mom doesn't have a car, so we had to take 3 buses to get up there to visit the doctor, the psychologist, but it was worth it. You know, I had a good time, and also meeting the Archbishop. Oh man, I was not ready for that either. That was another crazy, nerve-wracking day for me. But you know, it was a good time. You know, and I think the application process was a great deal of time, and just, you know, leading to the seminary. You know, knowing our knowledge, you know, and our faith, you know, being mature if we are surely ready to enter and to devote our lives to God. So I think for me, the application was fantastic. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was fun, very fun.
And you know, the Archbishop Chaput is really amazing in terms of, you know, he meets with every candidate, and he's the one that grants the application. Now, there does come a crunch time where he allows me to grant the application. Then, you know, he then meets up with the candidate afterwards. But for the most part, he meets with all the candidates who you know, and gives them an application, and it's his investment on wanting to know the seminarians and know them well, and so he makes that level of commitment and that sort of thing. How about yourself, Rob? What was your insight with the application?
The application process was quite a process, and it's funny that we mentioned the Archbishop, because for me that was actually sort of a humbling moment, because so the meeting for me was set up with the Archbishop. And I accidentally gave him a cold shoulder. I never showed up to the meeting because I mistakenly showed up at the wrong place. And so after a while, it got rescheduled. And a week or so later, I finally got to the Archbishop's office and met with him. And I was granted the application. And then I finally got to start the application. So even though I started off on the wrong foot, I still got to finish it.
It all worked out.
It did.
So praise God for that. And just real quick, the meeting with the Archbishop, you know, what was that like? I know, John, you mentioned going into it was nerve-wracking, but, you know, what was the actual experience of, you know, conversing with the Archbishop like?
It was great. It's kind of funny. I have an uncle who is a convert, and all the converts, the people who go through the RCIA
yep,
process in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken, they have to meet with the Archbishop. So my uncle was able to tell me about him a little bit. And the way he described him was he doesn't say much. He doesn't when he meets with people. And I found that was very true, is that I think it's to kind of put the candidate at ease. He's not overbearing. He's just very, very simple, straightforward questions. I think the first question he asked me was, tell me about yourself. And then it was me talking to him for the next 10 minutes. And then the next question was maybe, you know, why are you here? Tell me why you're here right now. Trying to pull out my vocation story. So he was very, very, very friendly, easy to talk to, easy to work with. So it was a pleasure working with him.
Outstanding. So let's talk a little bit about now the life here at the seminary and that sort of thing. So, you know, what has been, you know, we have three, you know, outstanding, you know, men here who have just entered the seminary out of college, or I'm sorry, out of high school. So they're all three of them are in first college, which then would mean that they would, you know, if they're meant to, you know, pursue the priesthood, they're, you know, they would go for 4 years of college. Then these men would do 1 year of the spirituality year. than 4 years of theology. So they're just starting the journey that, you know, would take them 9 years before ordination. That's exciting. Before I say that, so are you guys 100% convinced that God's calling you to the priesthood? You have it all figured out, and you're just, you know, you're just kind of waiting for the 9 years to go by so you can get ordained?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that answer. I can't answer that right now, Father, but it's whatever God's want me. For now, the experience for me has been very good. I'm very happy where I am, and I know I have good classmates with me, you know, and a lot of people here are very supportive and very helpful and very kind and just a great environment to live in. So for now, I am feeling good about the journey. You know, it's still young, still got a long way to go, but, you know, take it day by day and, you know, don't be stressed about it and just keep doing.
I'd also have to agree with John. I don't know, but as he said, the experience has been going well. About 2 months in, and it feels right. But at the same time, 9 years is a long time to think. And as you said earlier in the show, 50% of the guys discern out. That's a big number, considering that you think all the guys enter thinking that they want to be priests. And so it's always in the back of your mind, like, I'm here for a reason. I'm here to really find out. Because that's what the St. Charles is for. It's for discernment.
Mm-hmm. And with three of you here and a 50% discernment out rate, who will sacrifice? No, I'm not even going to go there. So, Gabe, you're about to respond.
Yeah, it's been a very good experience, me being here at St. Charles. Obviously, it was a big adjustment. I'm coming right out of high school, so just living on my own, doing my own laundry, all that has been an adjustment. But I really do enjoy it. The classes are good. The camaraderie here is amazing. It's really you don't get it at any other colleges, the brotherhood that exists here, and that's really something that keeps me going, is knowing that I always have my brothers to fall on if I need anything, or if I'm struggling with anything, if I need advice.
No, it's really wonderful. So what has, for all of you who have a chance to respond to this, what has been the thing that has surprised you the most about coming in the seminary? And what right now is your favorite thing about the seminary? So what was the biggest surprise coming into the seminary? And what is your favorite thing about the seminary?
Well, the favorite thing about the seminary for me is, you know, the schedule. You know, just spending a day, you know, with classes and spending a day with your friends, you know, and just, you know, having that free time, you know, and just... The four pillars, you know, the four pillars, it's one of my favorite things in the seminary. You know, we don't focus on one thing, we focus multiple things. You know, it's a good way to set up to become a priest, you know, not only just academics, but spiritually, you know, with prayers and in human formation, you know, it's just great. It's one of the favorite things I like in the seminary, just being very helpful and transforming, God's transforming you. Why are you in the seminary? To be a better person, to be humble, and to serve him, and to serve the people.
Yeah, and John's referring to the four pillars of formation. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but just since we mentioned it, you know, St. John Paul II put out there that seminary formation should have four areas of focus. You know, the pastoral, that's how to outreach to other people, that's how to minister the gospel. Intellectual, that's learning about the faith and philosophy, and we'll talk more about that. With the pastoral, the academic, the spiritual, you know, life of prayer, and as John mentioned, and then all that's built on the human foundation, and, you know, the human formation is so important. So we'll get back to the four pillars of formation, but, you know, I guess, Gabe, what was your, you know, favorite thing about the seminary? What's been the biggest surprise about coming in the seminary?
Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, I would say that my favorite thing is how close the guys are. Really, you spend so much time with the guys, and it's a signature small school. I think in the lower side, in the college division, there's about 50 seminarians, mm-hmm. maybe a little more. So you get very close with your brothers. The hardest thing for me, the most difficult, was the schedule, and that was the biggest surprise. the schedule here can be a beast sometimes. It really can be. And I wasn't exactly prepared for that. But you learn to get in the groove of it. It just can be a lot. It's days can fill up really quickly. Lots of meetings and classes and extracurriculars and all. But it's all good stuff. It's fun. And I've learned to adjust to it.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. And sometimes every so often people comment on like, well, why is the schedule so intense at this seminary? And if we keep in mind that like seminary formation is preparation for priesthood, and priests' lives are very hectic. There's a lot of demands. There's a lot of juggling. There's a lot of commitments and that sort of thing. And so we would really do a disservice to seminarians if we didn't, you know, kind of mimic what the intensity of priesthood was and give you a chance to kind of formulate like strategies how to kind of manage your time well, manage your energy well, get rest, you know, get exercise, get prayer in, all those important things. You know, but yeah, the schedule for many, it takes a lot to adjust to and get used to. How about yourself, Rob?
One of my favorite things here is actually the sports. There's a lot of sports that go out throughout the year, soccer being in the fall, and then basketball in the winter, and then there's a football game between the upper side and lower side of the seminary, and other sports. But it's a really good time just to, like, put everything aside, like, just everything in between two guys and just go out on the basketball court and just shoot hoops and really just, like, focus on basketball than anything else.
Outstanding. So well, who can answer the question, what's a typical day like here at the seminary? You know, if there is such a thing, but who can talk about what a typical day is like here?
Okay, so we have 7 a.m. chapel. We start with a very brief prayer called the Angelus at 7 a.m. sharp, and then that prayer just takes a minute, and then it's followed by a 20-minute meditation, and after the 20-minute silent meditation in chapel, we pray morning prayer together, which is it's the first hour out of the divine office, which we pray together. After that, we just say mass right away. And then that'll take us to about 8:10. We have a half hour for breakfast. And then after that, 9 a.m. is first period. And some guys have different schedules. My schedule most days is 9 to 1. I have classes, three periods, back to back to back. And then at the end of that, I have lunch. You'll usually have free time in the afternoon to do homework, to take a run, to work out, whatever you want. Sometimes you'll have meetings, but that's not something that's consistent. And then 5:30, we have evening prayer and dinner immediately following that. And the afternoons, the night is off. The night's yours to do homework, whatever you need to do. You can relax, read, watch TV.
Outstanding. So that's the typical schedule here. And what are the classes that you guys are taking? Or would all of you be in the same classes? You're not. They're kind of saying, waving me off and saying no. So it's the three of them are not in the same class. Just to make that clear to the listening audience, they can't see the waving and the the nodding of the head and that sort of thing. So, but what I guess John, what classes are you taking this semester?
I am taking English, taking math, and taking theology, one of perspective beliefs. I'm taking oral communication, Latin. I think I'm missing one more.
History of civilization.
And we also have an extra class, spiritual conference. So those are my classes.
Okay, cool. Well, and are all of you taking oral communication at this point?
We are, yes.
Okay, so that's one. Well, I will have to send a copy of this to your teacher, and maybe it can get you some extra credit because you guys are doing a great job. So what would be different? Who's taking a different class?
For me, it's a bit different because I brought in AP credits from high school. Mm-hmm. So, and those AP credits covered the English and math courses. So I didn't have to take either of those, and John had 6 classes, and I only have 5, and if you're doing the math, that means I have one different class, meaning I'm in philosophy of Plato. So that's my one big different one than most of the new guys.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm very similar to these two guys, except that I was able to test out of math. I had some AP math credit from high school, so I only have 5 classes on my schedule.
So this sounds like a regular college, right? Like, is this like what's What's similar about a regular college? What's different? Like, you know, how was the frat party this weekend? so do you guys want to describe what your sense is between the similarities and differences of this experience with another college?
Yeah, well, it's similar in the sense that you're taking classes. The classes at times can be, it's still, the academics are similar in a lot of ways. You're not they're focused on philosophy and theology more. And also ancient languages, but you still have the dorms are I'm sure very similar. Where you guys maybe have guys staying up late and doing homework, and we have a couple common areas with a TV room, a billiards pool room, which a lot of guys hang out, and there's sports. So there's a lot of opportunities to offer guys that the seminary offers to guys to give them, in a sense, something of a normal college experience. Like I said, sports, the dorms, the classes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. What would be different then about, your experience here from what you're hearing from your friends and that sort of thing? Go ahead, Rob.
So the main difference is we dress up during classes. It's called semi-casual, meaning you have to be wearing black shoes, socks, pants, belt, and then some sort of collared shirt. Very different from any other college, or most colleges anyway, where kids are rolling out of bed and going to class in their sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, they do have it set a curfew for most of the nights. 11 o'clock is lights out, and lights out means you're in your dorm. Most colleges don't have that, but St. Charles is different because they're focusing on something bigger.
Mm-hmm. No, very good, very good.
Yeah, if I can add something, I think the schedule is very different. The schedule is much more rigid, and obviously we have religious liturgies spread out throughout the day. I had a friend a few weeks back complain to me that he had 8 a.m. class, and I was my words were not so friendly with him right then, because I told him, every morning we have 7 a.m. chapel for an hour. The biggest difference is just the schedule. I think the schedule is much more tight and rigid than at a normal college.
Mm-hmm. And so the seminary has religious liturgies, and other colleges would have unreligious liturgies. No, I'm kidding. I just had to kind of goof around there. Only because I'm a knucklehead. That's awesome. And then we talked a lot about the intellectual formation. What would be an example of human formation that takes place here? What goes into human formation?
The human formation is we learn about ourselves more. Same topic, same genre as spiritually.
The summary would say it also would be hygiene and getting up on time and that type of thing.
Yeah, just the discipline. Being the strict. Having, binaries, you can't cross the line, in the seminary. So it's a big thing. That's a big help. It's been a big help for me, human and spiritually,
mm-hmm.
getting the difference, between the external and internal. So I really learned about that, and I'm still learning. So, I'm in the process. But, human is just to get to know more of yourself and how can you do good in living in this environment, in the mm-hmm. community, in the seminary.
Yeah, making sure you're even washing your clothes and making sure your room is straightened and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Anything else to add?
Yes, there's a couple things in place that they do. They don't so much allow for facial hair, at least. They tell you one or the other. You can't be going in and out. So you're clean shaven or you commit to a beard, because they don't want guys showing up looking untrimmed, unclean. So that's something, just making sure we shave every day or depending on every couple of days. And they also, with the bedtimes and things, just to make sure we're not, things to make sure we're growing as a man, how we can grow more into the man that God wants us to be. And also we'll have human formation conferences throughout the year. We just had one a few weeks back we had one recently on psychology. So cognitive psychology, how you can retrain your thoughts and think more logically, more rationally about events and emotions.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. And what does spiritual formation look like here at the seminary?
Spiritual formation looks a lot like a lot of religious liturgies. and in addition, you also have a spiritual director, which you meet with every 3 or so weeks. And you really just, like, tell them what's on your heart. How are you feeling in, like, the spiritual sense, as in, like, which way your heart is moving throughout prayer and whatnot. That's probably one of the biggest parts of spiritual formation, I would imagine, because you have this sort of intimate person that you can talk to about anything that's on your mind in the spiritual world.
Outstanding. And then anything else connected to spiritual formation? And, you know, there's a lot of like retreats and that sort of thing here. Know that that's wonderful. And then pastoral formation, what does that look like? You know, how, you know, in, you know, the first college program here, do you guys have pastoral formation?
Well, I think for the first semester, we just staying in, you know, cleaning house jobs, you know, but the pastoral is the seminary, they go out in their apostolate and just go to other parishes or nursing homes, hospitals, you know, visit the sick and the poor, and just to help, you know, grow in their human formation, and just to serve the people, the community, and to help. And I think it's a great way of getting to the people and getting close to God, and, you know, so a way of serving to the world, and being a seminarian, you know. So yeah, that's what the apostolate is. We try to see you, Father, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Good answer, John. Thank you so much.
I was making sure.
Well done. So, and praise God. So, like, and just wanted to hear, like, what advice would you give to, you know, a guy who's thinking about the priesthood, thinking about going into the seminary, maybe a guy who's in high school and, you know, listening to us on his earphones when he should be in class. No. but if a high school guy is listening to this, you know, what advice would you give to a guy who's considering the seminary, considering the priesthood?
Well, I think I'm going to give my appeal speech soon, next month, at my parish show. One of my main messages in that speech is to listen to God. Listen to Him and listen to what your heart says, you know. Let Him show you the way, because he did that to me and helped me a lot, and that's where I am here today, because of God, just listening to Him and, you know, listening to my calling. So I just, for all the young people out there, just listen to Him and follow your calling and listen to what you want to do in life, you know.
Listen to God. Good advice.
I would say one of the biggest things for me was being able to talk to people about it. So go to someone that you trust, your parents, your friends, your youth group leader. And also reach out to Father Lacey here, because
20 more bucks.
even though Father Lacey has heard a lot of yeses in the vocation, he's also heard a lot of no's. So just going to him, he's okay with you, like, being on the fence and not being 100%. Just Father Lacey's an excellent guy to talk to about this kind of stuff.
40 bucks.
Yeah, and I think what's really important to understand is that the seminary is a place of further discernment. You, in no sense, signing on the dotted line, signing away your life to the priesthood, but it is the best place to discern. It is the most clear place where you'll be able to discern God's will in your life. And the last thing I want to just encourage you guys is, don't be afraid to be radical. Don't be afraid to reject the comfortable path in your life. Is go to college and get married, and you know, the happiest you will be is following God's will. That is the only path. God's plan A for you is the only path to perfect happiness and fulfillment. So I encourage you to radically and boldly follow His will.
Great. Okay. Excellent responses for the three of you. And just to kind of amplify what Rob was saying, I'm very happy to kind of meet with anyone that's discerning the call to the priesthood. And you know, the bottom line, the goal is not to get as many priests as possible. You know, like, we want to get every single man who God is calling to the priesthood, get him to become a priest. But we're not just trying to get any single man to become a priest, that sort of thing. And, you know, there is certainly a need for a certain amount of priests. in order for us to cover all the parishes and meet the sacramental needs of the church. So, you know, as a church, we have to be concerned about the numbers at one level. But, you know, when any individual comes before me as the vocation director and comes into the seminary here, you're in no way treated like a number. You're an individual who God has loved into being, and God's providential care is guiding, you know, your life, the activity of your life, to reveal, you know, what it is he's calling you to, what it is your vocation is. And so, you know, coming to me is a very safe place to you know, engage a conversation about where God might be calling you to as your next step. You know, and so to get in touch with me or to find more out about the programs that we offer, you can go to the Heed the Call website. That is www.heedthecall.org. That is www.heedthecall.org. Just curious, as we're running out of time here, you know, like John had mentioned about the Pew speech, he referred to it as, also known as the seminary appeal and that sort of thing. The three of you, you know, have not engaged that yet. So, and just this is one of those challenging experiences that probably most guys your age don't get a chance to present to a whole church and that sort of thing. And just curious on what you're feeling about that right now, and how God has, or what the seminary is doing to prepare you to be able to engage this. So, you know, I'm not sure who's going to jump up first, but one of you can jump in.
Well, the seminary has prepared us good for this speech, you know, for this event, you know, just like learning how to speak in front of a class, you know, public speaking, you know. As a priest, you know, you got to give the homilies, you know, on Sundays, you know, in front of millions of people in the pews, so you can't be afraid of to spread the message of God, you know, the word of God. And also, as my friend here, Gabe, pointed out, the oral communication class also helped us out too. Mr. Joseph, a great teacher. You know, we still presenting our oral communication speech in class, so that's also a good way to practice, you know, just getting reminding and remembering and having practices just to get a feeling and getting ready for that date. So yeah, the seminary has prepared us well for this event, for this moment, and you know, I am excited. I'm going to my whole parish, and hope you guys wish me luck, pray for me, and hope everything go well, and get some donations.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's John put it really well. They're doing a lot to prepare us for it. In our oral communications class, our teacher's been working with us to. She gave us a great outline for our speech. She's just taken us through it point by point, how we can present it. We're practicing it. They really do a lot to prepare you for it. And I don't think any 18, 19, 20 year old guys feel totally comfortable getting up in front of an entire congregation to speak, asking for money, better yet. But it's a good thing. It's just really a good opportunity to kind of get outside your comfort zone. It's a good opportunity to grow, really.
Outstanding. Good. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. And I think the Seminary Appeal, you know, represents one of those challenges. There's a lot of challenges that seminaries are under, and you know, for myself, you know, this was the giant I had to slay my first year in the seminary. Like, I was completely intimidated by the idea of having to give this talk and that sort of thing. And I had to go to prayer and beg God for the grace to be able to do that. And, you know, it worked out well, and God was able to give me what I needed, and I was able to execute it. And now, you know, now people wish they could get me to shut up now. So I've been doing so much public speaking and that sort of thing. So, well, praise God to our three awesome guests here. Thank you so much for your yes. It was a joy. I get to work closely with the men as they're applying, and all three men have brought me great joy and great enthusiasm for what the future of the church holds in terms of the good quality of men who are being prepared in the seminary to become priests. So I just want to thank you all so much for it. Now, Gabe is the only one that didn't earn $20 during the show. Any last minute shot of how to earn, you know, any compliments? No, yeah, that's fishing for it. Oh, go ahead. He's leaning towards.
I like your shoes.
Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, so he gets the $20 too. So that's wonderful. But well, praise God. Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the many gifts you give to us. We thank you for the gift of our vocation. We ask that you give us the gift of discernment, everyone listening, so that we can come to know what your will is in our life and to have the courage and strength to execute your will. As we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.